Well, Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could be here tonight. We're back after a two-week hiatus due to the holidays. And I'm Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Chadashah Ministries and leader of this small, humble, but effective congregation. We certainly have the remnant here. And all these people that are here tonight, I want to thank you for staying with this ministry and supporting it and participating in it. It's much appreciated. And we're having sound issues again, so Greg is trying to fix that. I have the microphone on, and hopefully I won't have to yell tonight if we got bad sound. I want to let you all know that our ministry, of course, is devoted to teaching the Word of God accurately and truthfully, and we want to also tell you that we like to emphasize the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. And we also do Jewish evangelism according to Romans 1:16. The gospel is to go to the Jew first. They're the ones that gave us the gospel. They're the gospel people. They're the messianic people. They're the Bible people. So for those reasons, we go to the Jewish people with the love of Yeshua HaMashiach. And of course, the devil is monkeying with our technology tonight, because this is an important message. And so this is no surprise, par for the course. Are we still on? So I want to let you know that we have our newsletter here. You want to just try the whole thing over? We still on? Okay, so we're having technical difficulties. You know it's live when you got stuff like this happening. So I want you to be able to get our newsletter, wherein we have chronicled each outreach from the beginning. We started going to Israel, bringing the gospel and the complete Hebrew Bible back to the Jewish people in 2001. And now we have not been able to go for a year. 2020 saw no gospel outreaches to Israel. But we're believing God that we'll be going this year early, as this overblown pandemic finally dissipates. But we need your prayers, we need your support. We can't do this without the body of Christ's support, the church's support in this ministry. They have supported us, and we appreciate it in times of thickness and thinness. And if you would like to support our ministry, you can do that by clicking on the link below the title of tonight's message. You can click on there and support us if you like, weekly, monthly, or a one-time support. And you can also get it to repeat every month if you want your support. So we appreciate that. If you would like to do that, our link is www.searchthescripturesonline.org. And if you'd like to come here, we meet every Shabbat, every Friday evening at 7 p.m. at Northwest Bible Church, located in the Christian Life Center building, room 301. The location of the church is 8505 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75231. And our newsletter is available to you. It's a free newsletter. You get good Bible teaching and good reporting from Israel and the Jewish evangelism that we conduct over there among the receptive Israelis. So we want to bring that vital information to you. So I'm going to basically have to yell at you tonight because the audio is not working. No surprise, because the enemy like the big tech censors now, doesn't want the Word of God to go out. And tonight I'm going to be talking to you about a very sober and serious reality that I think has settled in this nation after this bogus election where the radical leftists seized power by a variety of tactics that subverted this election and gave it to someone who is now going to be illegitimately sworn in as president on January 20th. Now, I realize I will probably be censored now. I've already been censored 3 times by Facebook. The recent one was yesterday because I've spoken out about what really happened on Election Day. But I'm not going to go far into that. I'm not going to even really talk about the riot at Capitol Hill yesterday because censorship now is in full gear. We are living in an Orwellian America. This is not the United States you and I grew up in as kids. This is a different dystopian country now. And folks, within the next 4 years, now that the radical leftists have control of all 3 branches of government, we could see ourselves being targeted by phony hate law legislation, where when we preach against certain sexual sins, we'll be accused of being verbal terrorists, misusing the Bible as hate literature, and we will be intimidated by the courts saying, cease and desist, pay a fine, or you will do compulsory jail time, plus sensitivity training. Let me just tell you something right now. I will do neither of those things. I will be like John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Paul, and Jesus when persecuted, imprisoned, and physically abused. I will preach the Word of God no matter what. They can do with me what they can do with my body, whatever they want. It means nothing, but they can't touch my soul. And that's a word for all of you serious-minded Bible believers out there. So, obviously, the sound is not working, and I'm going to have to raise my voice. And how appropriate that I would have to do that tonight, because in the book of Isaiah it says, let me read it. Isaiah 58. 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their transgressions. And that's what I'm going to do tonight. I don't do this with relish. I don't have a sadistic delight preaching judgment and damnation. But I have to, as an obligation to the master I serve, and as an obligation to my fellow man and this nation. And so tonight I want to bring to you a very sober and serious topic that has funereal overtones to it. And that is this. I'm going to be talking about God's wrath of abandonment over a nation, subtitled 6 Indicators America is Under God's Wrath of Abandonment, according to Romans 1, 18 through 32. I'll say that again for all you censors out there. The title of tonight's message is God's Wrath of Abandonment Over a Nation. 6 Indicators America is Under God's Wrath of Abandonment, according to Romans 1, 18 through 32. Now, when I say America here, I'm talking about the unbelievers who temporarily prosper in the fallen world system that Scripture says is based on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. America, in their unbelief and rebellion against God, has been abandoned as an expression of God's wrath over this nation. Now, why am I bringing this now? When arguably great men of God like A.W. Tozier said this very thing about America in the early 60s after they kicked God out of the public school, thanks to the wretched Supreme Court. Dr. John MacArthur taught the same thing when I'm teaching you tonight in 1983. And I thought I had the... Yes, I do. I have his website here. In 1983, John MacArthur taught on this subject from Romans 1. And it was, the title of the message was, When God Abandons a Nation. And that message is still available on John MacArthur's website at www.gty.org. He was saying back in 1983 what I'm going to share with you tonight. So, what we saw in the last 2 months is a clear indication to me that we are living in a banana republic. I think we've been living in a banana republic far, far earlier than this recent fiasco with the electoral system. And you know what date I would go back to, where the deep state killed the president, found a scapegoat, and covered it up to this day. And if you doubt that, then just look at what happened in November of 2020 to know that the fix was in. The evil prevailed and they got away with it. And now they are going to place a usurper and a Jezebel in the White House. And by the way, this won't stop with the one who fraudulently won this election. The judgment is going to intensify. And Jezebel will take over for her, and then we will be under, this country will be under the wicked spell and rulership of Jezebel. And I said that 5 years ago on Mount Carmel, where Jezebel's prophets of Baal fought against the true prophet of God, Elijah. I said that was coming to America. You can go to YouTube and check that out. All right. Paul talks about the disturbing reality of God's wrath of abandonment in Romans 1, 18 through 32. And in this pericope of Scripture, we have six indicators when someone or a nation, an individual or a nation, is under God's wrath of abandonment. And sadly, folks, America qualifies for these six indicators in spades. Again, I'm not talking about the believers in this country. They are not under the wrath of God in any way, shape, or form. When God does something to a believer that's negative, it is to correct him as his child. Disciplinary correction from the Heavenly Father is worlds apart and different from God's punitive judgment on an unsaved person or people. So let's get that straight. So the audience that Paul is talking about here that have been abandoned by God's wrath is a person or a people. I tend to think Paul is talking, since he's talking in the plural throughout this section of Scripture, it refers more to a nation, but it can refer to an individual. So with that, we go to Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, plural, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up. There's the language of abandonment. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, lesbianism. Likewise, verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, homosexuality. Men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or a reprobate mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So those who engage in these sins and those who encourage the practice of these sins will suffer the same divine punishment in the end. Now, before we get into six indicators why ungodly America has been abandoned by God, let me just first give you seven types of divine wrath in Scripture. Seven types of divine wrath in Scripture. First, we have God's eternal wrath, which will be suffered in hell by all unbelievers. God's eternal wrath spent in hell and the lake of fire. Luke 16:19-31, Revelation 20:11-15. Second, we have God's eschatological wrath. This points us to the future day of the Lord, that seven-year tribulation period when God will pour out His unmitigated wrath on an unbelieving, Christ-rejecting world, as foretold in the book of Revelations, given under the 21 judgments that will be meted out on the earth by God during the tribulation period, which, by the way, the church will not be here, because, again, we're not appointed to God's wrath. Anybody who tells you that the church has to go through the tribulation betrays his defective understanding of salvation and what the gospel is. The gospel, when you believe it, saves you from wrath. All these wraths, these seven divine wraths, the believer is saved from, by the way. Except maybe the wrath of sowing and reaping. But again, that's not to the believer's damnation. Third, we have cataclysmic wrath, like Noah's flood, the 10 plagues of Egypt, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, or the devastation of Hurricane Katrina, earthquakes, or a tsunami in modern times. Fourth, we have consequential or reciprocal wrath, given under the heading of the principle of sowing and reaping, such as acquiring AIDS or venereal disease because you're sexually promiscuous. Fifth, we have the wrath of abandonment, which Romans 1 addresses. What is the wrath of abandonment? It is the judicial removing of God's protective restraint over a nation or an individual because they refuse to repent and obey God and continue on in their sinful rebellion. So when God removes His restraint in His wrath of abandonment, He does so and allows the natural consequence of one sin to destroy him or her. He does that both individually and nationally, and that's seen throughout Scripture. All of these are found in Scripture. Then we have the vindicatory wrath. That's number six. Vindicatory wrath. What is that? Well, this happens when God judges a person or nation for harming His people or his servant. We have the Exodus from Egypt. God judged Pharaoh's Egypt because they were harming and had been harming the people of Israel. We have the prophet Elisha. When the teenagers mocked him for his baldness, he called out two she-bears from the woods, and they mauled these blasphemous mockers. That's vindicatory wrath. We have Paul pronouncing the judgment of blindness on Elymas because Elymas opposed the gospel being preached in that particular city, Acts 13. Then finally, we have hardening wrath. This happens when God hardens the unbeliever because he or she repeatedly refuses the message of truth. So what does God do? He allows their hearts to become so hardened that it is beyond repair. Another good example of this kind of hardening wrath would be the Pharaoh of Egypt. Over and over again, we're told in the Exodus narrative that God allowed Pharaoh's heart to be hardened. Jesus also talks about the hardening effect of God's judgment on those who reject the Word of God in Matthew 13, 14, and 15, of which I wrote a book about, the eight parables of Matthew 13, and the prophetic, which are prophetic parables about the present age, available through our ministry. You can get it. We talk about that in there. So now I want to talk to you then about the six indicators from Romans 1, 18 through 32 that indicate God's abandonment of unsaved America. And when I say that, I don't mean that people can't still get saved. You and I don't know the point of reprobation for an individual or a nation. Only God knows that point. The danger line is the fact that these six indicators for a reprobate mind in Romans 1, who is now subject to God's wrath of divine abandonment, are being clearly and abundantly manifested in this country. And may I say this Christ-rejecting country, because there is a small remnant of Christians in this nation. Thus, of course, proving that there is no such thing as a Christian nation ever in the history of the world. That would mean that the majority of the population are born again versus those who are not. And nowhere in Scripture do we have anything saying that Christians will be the majority in this present age. Quite the contrary. Jesus said His flock was a little flock. And the same holds true for believers here. There is a small, redeemed remnant of true believers in this nation, leaving many counterfeit Christians going to churches who are being fed false doctrine and error. So let's look at the first indicator. Number one, rebellion and rejection of general revelation. This is now ensconced in our academic institutions and the halls of science. They reject that creation demonstrates the evidence of a creator, and they come up with cockamamie theories like the theory of evolution, that life emerged from non-life. And it was all done by pure spontaneous chance over billions of years. That, my friend, is rebellion against the clear and obvious proof of a creator God reflected through His creation. Romans 1, 18 through 20, you can read those verses. All people are born with the innate idea there is a creator God. Paul says it here. They know it in themselves. All people are thus accountable to this Creator God. Why? Because of the evidence of general revelation. What is general revelation as opposed to special revelation? General revelation is the evidence of creation showing a Creator who is a designer and has put the imprint of His creative design on His creation. That would be the material universe that we see. The general revelation that's mirrored by creation shows us the existence of a creator. And to deny that is to start walking on the road of reprobation and placing yourself under God's wrath of abandonment. And that's what's happening in many circles here in this country. They create this pseudoscience that denies the imminent reality and existence of a creator. Why? Because that would then mean, logically, they must be morally accountable to him. And if you want to live a self-centered life of sinful indulgence, how convenient to adopt a pseudoscientific theory that explains the origin of the universe without the presence of a creator God that brought it into existence. All people are accountable to this creator God because the evidence of creation proves the existence of a creator God. From Genesis 3 onwards, Satan the devil used his demonic forces and the fallen world system to change, corrupt, block, and lose the true knowledge of the creator from the minds of men, even to the extent of blinding them to the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world, little g, Paul says, speaking of Satan, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. So when they reject general revelation of creation, thus showing a creator, they also reject a special revelation from Scripture alone that shows us who God is. And again, time does not allow me to give you the plethora of evidence of this happening in America. Let me just give you one evidence. Michael Jackson's daughter is planning to film a multi-million dollar movie about the life of Christ in which she will play Jesus Christ as a lesbian. This is being hailed and approved. I could go on and on. The Last Temptation of Christ, which, as an apologist, I had to watch to be able to refute it, was the most tormenting movie I've ever watched. It was another blasphemous American-made film about Jesus, portraying him as unsure of himself and letting Judas give him advice controlling his life and ministry. This same Jesus in this blasphemous movie falls to the ground and goes into convulsions and then wonders if he's demon-possessed. That's true of Muhammad. That really happened with Muhammad, but not with Jesus. This is the kind of blasphemous stuff that is permeating America. And I'm not even going to tell you about all the heretical seminaries that are teaching flat-out blasphemous lies, errors, and heresies about Jesus Christ and misrepresenting Christianity. Again, to offer you proof of these six indicators going on here, we would be here for a lifetime, sadly. A second indicator, America is under God's wrath of abandonment, according to Romans 1:18-32, is this: the rejection of the one true God for the false gods of idolatry. Romans 1:21-23. Folks, did you know that most of the modern day cults in the last 200 years have been homegrown in America? Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science. Again, I could go on and on with that. Do you think idolatry is popular and prevalent in this land? Oh, I think so. Again, we would be here multiple lifetimes illustrating that fact. As the knowledge of the one true God of the Bible gets lost and is rejected, something must fill that void. You're going to worship somebody. In the end, it's either going to be the one true God of the Bible, Trinitarian in nature, or you're going to worship a false god. Whether it be the NFL, whether it be your spouse, your children, whether it be sex, alcohol, neo-pagan, unsaved America offers an innumerable amount of idols for you to worship. And I'm not saying you should worship them, don't get me wrong, because something has to fill that God-shaped void. The French theologian Blaise Pascal wrote a book called Pensées. Pensées means short sayings, epigrams, aphorisms, proverbs collected together in one book. Well, that's what Pascal's book is. And in that book, he talks about every man and woman is born with a void, a spiritual void in their heart that only God can fulfill. Solomon teaches that in Ecclesiastes 3. And that void is going to have to be filled with someone or something. And the only one that can fill that void of eternity that aches in our hearts for meaning, love, and ultimate significance, the only void that can be filled by that is the person and inhabiting presence of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. The first commandment given in Exodus 20 out of the 10 has to deal with prohibition of idolatry, the worship of false gods and making idols to represent them. God said there in Exodus 22 through 3, you shall have no other gods before me. And America has a plenitude of false gods. Take your pick. And it's not abating anytime soon. It's only increasing. The new illegitimate regime that has taken power, their god is government. That's their false idol. And the sacrifice to that god is unborn babies that they abort wantonly. Now, they've moved from in the womb to out of the womb. And you're going to tell me God's judgment's not on this nation? You're deceived if you think otherwise. Let me tell you something. Stalin killed 20 million people. Mao Zedong killed over 60 million people. Hitler killed 12 million people. The unborn lives taken in America has now totaled to 60 million people. I know this is not a pleasant topic, folks, but I'm not here to tickle ears. I'm here to wake us up to where we are right now as a nation. And you don't think God's going to judge a nation that kills 60 million of its own children? By the way, don't tell me, well, what about Europe? Europe's already been abandoned by God long ago. It started with the Enlightenment when they rejected the divine revelation of the Bible. This doesn't happen all at once. I hope you see this. There is a progression here that the Spirit of God is revealing to us through Paul in Romans, and there is a progression that leads to the regressive reality of being abandoned by God as a consequence of His wrath. God created each one of us to worship and have a personal relationship with Him. The rejection of God has directly led man to a place to replace worship of the Creator with the worship of idols. Let me say that again. The rejection of God has directly led man to replace worship of the Creator with the worship of man. So these six indicators can also be considered as six symptoms of God's wrath of abandonment. And again, this is nothing new. I'm preaching worse. Nations and people being abandoned to the wrath of God, or the abandonment of God's wrath, is all throughout Scripture. So what I'm teaching you here is not novel. It's all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. When men repeatedly reject God, there is a point in time when He rejects them permanently in return. This is called the wrath of abandonment. This dark reality is dramatically portrayed in the book of Hosea. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, God says here, I will also forget your children. Well, He doesn't do that anymore. That's the Old Testament. Well, I got news for you. God changes not. God's wrath is expressed when unrepentant sin continues. So if you're going to tell me God doesn't do this anymore in the New Testament, you're essentially telling me God ceases to be wrathful against sin, and that would make His attribute poof and disappear in this present age. That's insanity. That's stupidity. God's wrath is present, and it's over every unbeliever. And collectively, and Paul is talking here in plurals in the collective sin, 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 and don't repent, God says, I'm done with you. I'm handing you over to your own destruction, created by your unrepentant sin. Are we there yet? We're on the road. As a nation, we're on the road to reprobation and God's wrath of abandonment. Now, technically, I don't know when that line has been crossed. I think it has been. Just on the fact of the Holocaust of the unborn alone. But again, you and I as believers are not under God's wrath, His seven types of wrath in Scripture, because Jesus saved us from that wrath by taking the penalty of our sins upon Himself when He died on Calvary. All men are without excuse, Paul says here in Romans 1, for rejecting God. One of the most amazing recent discoveries about the brain is that men have been genetically hardwired to believe in God. It's called the God gene. But here come the ungodly scientists swooping in and they say, oh no, that's not a hardwired innate belief in God planted there by God. This hardwiring is part of the evolutionary processes to help mankind cope with the meaninglessness in their lives. They've just created God to cope with the meaninglessness of their lives, that there really is no God. However, Jews and Christians, on the other hand, believe that men are pre-programmed to believe in God by God Himself. The Bible says it this way in Romans 2:15. They show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts alternately excusing or else defending them on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men's hearts through Jesus Christ. Symptoms of the wrath of abandonment also are this: becoming stupid and senseless. You think that's happening in this country on a large scale? For one thing, those suffering from God's wrath of abandonment become foolish or stupid in their thinking. They can no longer think or reason clearly. You're going to have a regime in 2 weeks that epitomizes this reality. And the person leading the charge, fake president Joe Biden, demonstrates this in so many ways. One way he demonstrated it when he was conducting a town hall and Democrat operative George Stephanopoulos, posing as an objective journalist, said to him, "What about children who want to be transgender?" And it was asked if it would be okay for an 8-year-old boy to genitally mutilate himself so that he could become a woman. And Joe said he has the right to do it, the 8-year-old boy, even without parental consent, if I'm correct. This is the symptom of the wrath of abandonment by God on the leaders of this nation. They've become stupid. They've denied the obvious reality of biology, science, and God-designed gender. Another stupid theory being touted, of course, is this whole idea there is no God. Therefore, creation came from nothing. Before he died, the inordinate revered Stephen Hawking desperately to avoid meeting his maker in judgment after this life, actually said that yes, the universe has come from nothing. There's another one abandoned to the wrath. There's another one whose God's wrath of abandonment has taken hold. Imagine that. He's denied the first rule of causality, which is inviolate. And that is, there's always, for every cause, there is an effect, right? Except God, who is the uncaused eternal being. Creation is the evidentiary sign of the effect of the Creator creating. And yet, we're to believe now by these God-denying scientists that something came from nothing, or living matter evolved, or it's generated by non-living matter. All right, let's move on. As we look at this, a third indicator of God's wrath of abandonment hanging over this unsaved nation is it begins with routine sexual activity outside God's fixed definition of marriage. Romans 1:24 through 25. Fornication and living together is now accepted, and anyone who speaks out against it is considered outdated, prude, and narrow-minded. Now you tell me, do we see this happening in great proliferation in America? Of course we do. Because they reject that sex is to be enjoyed within the perimeters of marriage. Now, apostate churches in this country are teaching that it's okay to be promiscuous. It's okay to engage in sex with the same sex, men with men, women with women, and so forth. And yet the warning from God's Word is that those who engage in such things on a regular basis will not, and I repeat, will not inherit the kingdom of God if they don't repent of that sin. Now, if they repent, and some of us in here have been former fornicators, we've repented, God saved us, and He delivered us. So when I'm talking about these six indicators, again, I'm not talking about the saved remnant believers in America. I'm talking about the unbelievers who live according to the fallen world system. And they are, believe me, they make up a huge conglomerate of this nation. And in 2 weeks, it will start with that one in the White House. So, the third indicator is the wrath of abandonment begins with routine sexual activity outside God's fixed definition of marriage. Romans 1, 24-25. The fourth indicator of the wrath of abandonment over this country is abnormal sexual activity outside God's fixed heterosexual definition of marriage. Romans 1:26 and 27. Another symptom of God's wrath here under number 4 is seeing that when God abandons someone or a nation, He gives them over to the destructive lifestyle of homosexuality. When they pass the hate law legislation in the next 2 to 4 years, because now they have control of all three branches of the government, they could perhaps use what I'm saying tonight as evidence to find me, demand I go to sensitivity training courses, or perhaps be jailed. Bring it on. I'll preach in the prison. God's word is against homosexuality and lesbianism. And those of you caught up in it need to repent and get saved. The deprivation is so bad that when women who have natural instincts to raise and protect their children resort to lesbianism, they have been given over to their own dishonorable, unnatural passions. For even their females exchange natural sexual intercourse for what is unnatural. Romans 1:26. I think it's John MacArthur notes here in verse 26 this, and I think it's well worth quoting him. He says, quote, Paul mentions women first to show the extent of debauchery under the wrath of abandonment, because in most cultures, women are the last to be affected by moral collapse. And of course, verse 27 goes on to say, the males in the same way also left natural sexual intercourse with females and were inflamed in their lust for one another. And folks, the homosexual lifestyle has been enshrined, legalized, celebrated, and threatened. Or I should say, with threatenings against those who dare stand up against it as immoral, unnatural, destructive, and contrary to God's will revealed through His Word. They are coming after you if you take this stand. Make no mistake about it. They are coming after you. And I'm already putting my neck on the line. So be it. You can do whatever you want to with my body. You can restrict my freedom, but you can't touch my soul, because it's saved and sealed by the blood of the Lamb. And Paul then says at the end of 27 that they receive in themselves the due reward for their error. When the steaming bathhouses in San Francisco were first revealed as petri dish for bacteria and AIDS in the early 1980s, society's natural reaction was to demand they be closed. Yet in spite of the evidence for terrible bacterial onslaught upon the human body through homosexual, heterosexual perversions, we were and they were silent. Why? Well, you know why. This is because it's not politically correct now to speak against homosexuality or extramarital sex. We have been subjected to gay pride parades such as that planned before Hurricane Katrina closed down New Orleans. We have watched them shake their fists in God's eyes as they demand gay pride parades in the heart of Jerusalem. Folks, God's wrath of abandonment is in full effect over this country because of their inveterate support and celebration of a lifestyle that God squarely and explicitly condemns in His Word. And so when they come after you, born-again, Bible-believing Christian, that hold to that view, that's the only way they can strike back against the holy God of the Bible, because they can't harm Him. So what do? They go after Satan, has them go after God's people. And the irony is we love them enough to tell them the truth. We don't want to see them or any other unsafe sinner burn in the fires of hell. We want them to repent and find forgiveness and joy and transformation and new life, a home in heaven and a future reign of glory with Jesus, right? So don't give me this, oh, you hate us. We don't hate you. We love you enough to tell you the truth, that if you don't repent, the abandonment of God's wrath will destroy you, because He'll remove His restraint, and that sin will consume and destroy you and ultimately damn your soul. And again, don't be surprised that after tonight I'm removed from Facebook. So be it. Small price to pay for uncompromisingly preaching the Word of God in this wicked and perverse generation, and what has become Sodom and Gomorrah. And it pains me to say that. I'm not up here like getting sadistic delight out of this. This pains me that I have to say this. And it's been needed to be said and preached for a long time. I've mentioned it in passing in my sermons, but tonight I'm devoting a full message to this. Well, it gets worse on the road of God's wrath of abandonment. A fifth indicator that much of America is under God's wrath of abandonment is the wrath of abandonment leads to the reprobation of the depraved. One of the most darkest doctrines in the Bible is the doctrine of reprobation. God's wrath is another one. People don't want to deal with these controversial doctrines because it militates against the sinful, self-centered nature of man that wants to be pampered and pleased and served. Reprobation is one of those doctrines that militate against the unsaved, whether he's in the church or not. Right along up there with the doctrine of election, the doctrine of total depravity, the doctrine of eternal punishment, the doctrine that there is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus alone, and the doctrine of reprobation is another symptom of God's wrath of abandonment. Now what, and Paul says this here in Romans 1:28. He says that the full pursuit of sexual perversion leads to God giving up, handing over, if you will, to the destructive nature of that sin. By the way, I want you to see that I have it here in my notes. Well, I'll just go ahead. Three times we are told in Romans 1 that God gives up and gives over the unrepentant sinner to the destruction of his sin. We find that in verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, let me just give you a definition of what a reprobate mind is. I'm getting all my notes confused up here. What does it mean to have a reprobate mind according to Romans 1:28? Well, the phrase reprobate mind found in this verse is in reference to those whom God has rejected as godless and wicked. Paul says that they suppress the truth in their wickedness. And so it is upon these people that the wrath of God rests. Romans 1:18. By the way, God's wrath is being meted out in the present age. God does still judge. How do I know that? Before you got saved, you were under the wrath of God as an unbeliever. John 3:18, and he who doesn't, well, let me just read it. He who believes in Him, Jesus, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God, a present tense, abides on him. And here in Romans 1:18, Paul says in present tense that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So that would include nations of unbelievers as well as individual unbelievers. It's not an either or. It's both. The Greek word translated reprobate in the New Testament is adokimos, which means literally unapproved. That is rejected. And by implication, that means literally worthless, morally or otherwise. This word reprobate is used by Paul several times in the New Testament. Paul describes two men named Jonas and Jambres as those who resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. 2 Timothy 3:8. Here the reprobation is regarding the resistance to the truth because of corrupt minds. In Titus, Paul also refers to those whose works are what? Reprobate. And he's talking about false Christians here, like that two-faced traitor Mike Pence. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable. By the way, he's a Romanist. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and to unto every good work reprobate. Titus 1:16. Therefore, the reprobate mind is one that is corrupt and worthless. And we have a lot of those people now running the government, reprobates. Again, this is not my opinion, folks. This is not the opinion of Todd Baker. This is the Word of God. And if you have a problem with it, you have a problem with God's Word. And if you can't stomach it, then turn off that or leave, whatever. But I'm going to preach the truth of God's Word and sound a warning for this nation. As we can see in the verses that I've given you from Paul, People who are classified as having a reprobate mind have some knowledge of God, and they perhaps know His commandments. However, they live impure lives and have very little desire to please God. Those who have reprobate minds live corrupt and selfish lives. And you know, we always think the reprobate is the extreme example of a mass murderer or an evil people. No, they could be your next door neighbor who's nice and polite, but he's unsaved and refuses to accept the gospel. So don't classify reprobation and use extreme examples. Anybody who refuses to repent and believe the gospel is a reprobate if he dies in that state. Again, we don't know exactly where that line is crossed where they enter into reprobation territory. We're not God. But there are signs that 6 in Romans 1 that indicate a person is walking down the road of reprobation. And God only knows when he crosses that line or that nation crosses that line. And God says, I'm done. I'm abandoning you to the destruction of your sins. And it hasn't been because God didn't try to reach them. Let's face it, folks. This nation has more gospel light than any other nation in the world, which makes their judgment more severe because the Scripture teaches the greater the light given by God, the greater the moral accountability and the greater the judgment. I'll give you one example, the trial of the Lord Jesus. He was discoursing with Pilate, and Pilate, who is a pagan, ignorant of the Scriptures and the coming of Messiah found in those Scriptures, Jesus said to this ignorant pagan, He who has delivered me to you has committed the greater sin. Why? Because the Jewish nation that rejected Jesus already had specific, concrete, and viable knowledge of who God is and the fact He would send His Son. Pilate didn't know anything about that. So the judgment that's on this nation will be greater, and it's intensifying, will be greater because they've had the gospel light beamed into their homes, sounded forth on their radios 24/7 now for largely 80 years nonstop. And yet they haven't repented. Now I believe that this reprobation I'm talking about of America, if it's not already there, it will certainly be there when we are raptured out of here. That will seal the deal. And this is one of the reasons why America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy. They've lost their power and their global power and influence for whatever reason. And that power and influence will then be transferred to Europe, specifically Rome, from whence the Antichrist will emerge, according to Daniel 9, 26 and 27. So this is a major reason why America is not named specifically in Bible prophecy, because they will have lost their power by the time of the beginning of the tribulation period. And I think that vacuum will probably seal the deal, leaving this nation reprobate, when all true born-again Christians are called up to heaven at the rapture. Does that make sense? And so, that's one of many reasons why America is not found in Bible prophecy. Now, there are several examples of real reprobates in the Bible and in secular history. Let me give them to you real quick. We have Judas Iscariot. He is an example of a religious reprobate. We have Pharaoh of the Exodus. He's an example of a secular reprobate. If you want secular history of reprobates, we have Adolf Hitler. If you want one closer to our time, you have serial killer Charles Manson. These are extreme examples of reprobates, remember. Before Judas betrayed Jesus, Jesus already knew he was a reprobate. In John 6, he called him a devil. Reprobates can't be saved. So Judas was never saved to begin with, unless you believe you can lose your salvation, which is not biblical. Which brings me to the question, if I have it here, can Christians have a reprobate mind? By definition, no. Someone who is a reprobate never got saved. or he wouldn't be a reprobate if he was. Someone who has sincerely accepted the Lord Jesus by faith will not have the reprobate mindset, because the old person with a reprobate mind has been removed and in its place recreated into a new image. Behold, if any person be in Christ, the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us. Furthermore, every born-again believer has the mind of Christ. You can't have the mind of Christ and be reprobate or become reprobate if you're saved. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Christians are basically new people. We live differently. We speak differently. Our world is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ and how we can serve Him. Also, if we are truly in the faith, we will have the Holy Spirit to help us live a God-honoring life, because the Holy Spirit is in us forever. That's what Jesus said in John 14:26. You don't have the Holy Spirit leaving a believer. He is there, as Jesus said, forever. So those with reprobate minds do not have the Holy Spirit, and they live only for themselves in the end. You know, I could go on and on here, but I'm not going to do it. Let me just end by saying this. This is my learned perspective as a born-again Bible believer, as a watchman on the wall for this nation, for Israel and the world. And that's this. What's going on in America now is eerily similar to the days of Jeremiah the prophet, when Babylon invaded Judah in 586 BC. Now, why do I say that? Well, remember what Jeremiah said in the face of God's imminent judgment, which was actually already being poured out. And I'm paraphrasing what Jeremiah said. You can't fight against God's judgment. If you do, you are fighting against God. That was one of Jeremiah's main messages of the book he wrote. And that's what we have in America now, I believe. Believe me, I sympathize with conservative activists and I must say the naive evangelical enthusiasts who think they can pray all this horrible stuff away. This is not going to happen, folks. It's not going to happen. And it's part of divine judgment. And these people cannot successfully fight against it or make it go away. I know that's a hard truth to swallow. But that is where this nation is at this time. And I've been saying this for over 3 decades, and now sadly it's here. So is this a hopeless situation we're in? Should we just throw up our hands and give up? No. Because one of the reasons I believe God has allowed this illegitimate election to stand, one of the reasons, and there are many, is to wean us from any type of idolatry. That is, putting our hope in a political figure, a political movement, thinking the answer is if we get the right people in political office, all will be well. Instead, our hope and our focus should be squarely fastened on our returning King, who will usher in a perfect government, free of bogus elections, free of those who advocate mass infanticide, free of those who seek now to persecute Christians and force them to accept sinful lifestyles at the threat of imprisonment or taking away their freedom. And that's what they're going to do. That's what they want to do. Read what they say. Look at what they say. I know how these people operate because I know the nature of sin. Why? Because I'm a sinner myself. Human nature is sinful. It's selfish. It lusts for power and control so that it may wield it over others and force them to do their evil bidding. The only hope and escape from this oncoming train wreck of national reprobation is penitent faith in the crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. It is not in a political party, certainly not in a Republican party, given that they have rolled over and formally certified this illegitimate election with its illegitimate candidate. It's not in them by any means, and certainly not in the Democrat Party. It's not in an independent party. It's not in this nascent Patriot Party. It's only, the answer is found only in Jesus Christ. Get your eyes, and I'm preaching to myself here too, get your eyes off of America's problems can be solved by a political answer. No, we can't. This deep stroke of sin, these six indicators that unsaved America is under God's wrath of abandonment, can only be healed by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, which removes the stain and stroke of sin and elevates man to co-reign with the God-man Jesus Christ, spiritually now in some respects, but fully, physically, and finally when the Savior returns. That's the answer, folks. And sadly, many Christians have made America an idol, sacrificed to the god of patriotism. And of course, now that I've said that, I will be accused, and I have been accused, all by Christians, of being anti-American and hating this country. Well, if you think that of me, you're stupid, and you obviously don't know the Word of God, and you don't know me. They accused Jeremiah, and I'm not putting myself on the same level as Jeremiah, but they accused him of the same exact thing, and all the other prophets. And even Jesus, they accused him of wanting to destroy the temple because he referred to his body as the temple. You know, the tragic history of Israel supports what I'm saying as well. And that is legitimately applicable to America now. Three times in Israel's history, God gave them over. When did he do that? 586 B.C. And God was merciful and loving enough to send him his prophets a full 200 years before judgment came. It happened in 586 B.C. when they refused to repent of their evil and their unspeakable iniquities. Actually, it began in 721 B.C. with the displacement of the northern kingdom, and then in 586 B.C. That's considered as one judgment instead of two, because both kingdoms make up the nation of Israel. But you could count them as two. And the next time it happened, when the leaders of Israel set up, conspired, and then had a hand in murdering their own Messiah. And Jesus in Matthew 23 speaks about God's wrath of abandonment. He told them, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." And he predicted the 70 AD Roman invasion, where the nation was dispersed and scattered. And so, America needs to take serious moral audit of itself, lest they find themselves, in the panicked and horrified state of one King Darius of Daniel 5. Remember what happened there? I'm sorry, King Belteshazzar in Daniel 5. Up to that point, Babylon was filling the measure of the cup of their abominations and also the cup of God's wrath. It was filling up. Well, it filled to the brim and was ready to be poured out upon Babylon when King Belshazzar decided to bring out the holy vessels of the temple. Prior to that, they were drinking to all the false gods of wood, stone, gold, and silver. And he said, "I'll even do you one better. Let's show contempt for the God of Israel. Bring out the vessels from the temple, and we will use them in our orgiastic debauchery." And guess what happened? A hand came and wrote on the banquet hall, "Mene, mene, tekel, upsaron." Belshazzar's knees trembled, and this was prophesied to happen, down to his knees trembling when he saw this message of judgment from on high. He called in Daniel. Daniel interpreted it. I think they knew what it said. They didn't know what it meant. So Daniel came in. He said, "This night your kingdom is gone and will be handed over another." And several hours later, the Persian king Darius dammed the main water thoroughfare of the city, went in, killed the king, but spared Daniel's life. There you go. Believers will be spared from what's overshadowing this nation right now. But that doesn't mean that we'll not suffer the negative consequences of the decisions of bad leaders. That's minor compared to the fact that you and I are not under God's wrath. Now, time escapes me. There's so much more I wanted to say. There does come a point in time when God says, "Don't pray for a nation anymore." Are we at that point? I have my own personal view. I'm not going to share it because I'm sure I've already offended enough people. But in Jeremiah 7:16, Jeremiah 11:14, Jeremiah 14:11, Ezekiel 13:1-16, Ezekiel 14:14, in all those passages, God told the prophets, "Don't pray for this nation anymore, and if you do, I'm not going to hear you." And then he goes on to say in Ezekiel 14:14, Daniel, Job, and Noah, "I wouldn't hear their prayers to spare this nation, although I'll spare them for their righteousness." And let me just say in closing, God's wrath of abandonment is also over the apostate church of America, too. The temporal success and tolerance of many false prophets in the land is another sign of God's wrath of abandonment on the apostate church of America. Just read Jeremiah 23:9-30. Why does God allow these heretics and these false teachers and to abound and multiply in the church? By the way, that's not being negative on the church. Jesus said that there will be many false teachers, many false Christs, many false apostles that will arise in the last days. Many. Check that word out in the Greek. It means a lot. And that's what we see on the modern day landscape of American Christendom. It is riddled with false teachers propagating their false teachings and their heresies. Why does God allow that? Well, one, to fulfill entire prophecy. But another, to test and see who are the true people of God and if they love Him completely. Deuteronomy 13:3. Look that up. God is testing people in the church by allowing these false prophets and heretics and false apostles to arise and promulgate their damnable heresies. So folks, the answer, once again, is not in Donald Trump. It's not in Republican conservatism or conservatism in general. Although the Bible is socially conservative and so is Jesus. The answer for man's problems, and you can say I'm being simplistic, I really don't care what you think at this point. Because if you're not a part of the solution to this mess that we're now under, you're part of the problem. The only solution is the saving power and person of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can get off this train wreck of national reprobation that has been ratcheted up and exponentially intensified with this illegitimate, lawless regime that will take power in 2 weeks. Well, until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.